Well, hello, and welcome to Endeavors, broadcasting to you from wherever you are, wherever you may be going, or wherever you may have been. My name's Dan, and I'll be guiding you through this wistful web of musical storytelling for the next little while. It's a super, super fantastic show today. We have, count it, 5 different guests on the show today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's almost a half dozen. And it's going to be filled with wonderful music. You'll be hearing from fiddle player extraordinaire Donald Leahy, who's in the midst of a tour with his wife and fellow fiddle player, Natalie McMaster. They played a show in Mission last week, and I had a chance to speak with Donald a couple of days before the show. You'll also be hearing from a great band, Hailstorm. I got to speak with drummer RJ Hale about their brand new album and what it's been like playing with his sister for the last almost 20 years. And finally, you know that I've been working with a group out of Mission called Mnet Radio. Well, they just had their first showcase last night, and I had a chance to go up there and film it. And I got to speak with the two artists performing, Matt McRae and Rebecca Sihon. And so you'll be hearing from both of them. As well, we'll be featuring music from all 4 artists on the show today. And finally, we have a little bit more from the Neil Young press conference that you heard last week. I managed to obtain a one-on-one interview with Neil's eldest son, Zeke, who is one of the head people at the Pono Music Company. But first, we're going to start you off with Matt McRae. This is his song, Flowers.
Down to that woman next to me. She is all in all that I could ever need. And I wonder what it's like to be with her all the time. And it's busy outside, the cars drive by. People rush ahead and do what seems right. Now I'm the kind of man who wants more than he has. So I'll settle back and try to understand. We'll stay down to that woman next to me. She is all in all that I could ever need. And I wonder what it's like to be with her all the time. I'll drive by past the station to the left. Pick up flowers and I'll place them in her hands. And I hope it's worth the smile look in her eyes. Cause I hate the day I'll have to say goodbye. We'll stay down to that woman next to me. She is all in all that I could ever need. And I wonder what it's like to be with her all the time. Time.
That was Matt McRae with Flowers, and that's off his live EP at August Studios album. Well, Matt McRae was the headliner last night at Mnet Radio's first Audio and Artistry series. And he played for about 45 minutes, and before the show, I had a chance to sit down with him to talk about the album and how he got his start in music. Hi, this is Dan McPeak, and you're listening to Mnet Radio and Endeavors. I am here with singer-songwriter Matt McRae. Matt, hello, how are you?
Hey, Dan, I'm doing good.
So, your album is live EP at August Studios. What was the recording process like for you?
Yeah, for me, everything just happened pretty quickly. I started making connections and made a friend in Chilliwack, and he has his own studio there, so I was able to record with him.
And I know you just recently hooked up here with the boys at Bad Cat, and you're performing tonight as one of the first showcase artists. What are you anticipating tonight?
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. One of my first bigger performances here, and it's going to be good to get some exposure.
What do you make of the Mission Arts community?
Yeah, I really love what they're doing. Just lots of support for local artists, and it just gives me a chance to get some more exposure. And so, yeah, I love what they're doing here.
Now, obviously, you're a singer-songwriter, so talk a little bit about your writing process. Because some musicians I know, like, they'll do music first and then a word, and some it's the opposite. Do you find you have a specific method, or is it kind of a mix and match, depending on the song?
Yeah, good question. I know generally there's two ways people write songs. One is just it comes to them all at once, and the creativity just flows out of nowhere, it seems. And the other way is just to really work at it, and might take a while to write a song. But in general, for me, I just I get enough of that creativity just coming out, so I just always write out of that, and I can't even finish writing all the songs because there's so much of that going on.
Isn't that the main artist's fallacy, though, is that you have so many projects at once that you can't focus on them all? Do you find that can actually be a deterrent for creativity, leaving so many things unfinished?
You might think so, but not really. It just gives me a lot of options of what material to choose to put on an album, and so I see it as a good thing.
When I first heard you perform, you struck me a lot like Bob Dylan. Maybe it was just because you were playing guitar, maybe because you had a little bit of harmonica playing on you. But I also think you played "The Times Are Changing." "Blown in the Wind."
Blown in the Wind. Yeah.
As a quote unquote folk singer or singer songwriter, if you want to use that label, what does someone like Dylan mean to you?
Yeah, I think a lot of what. When I hear people say, "Oh, you sound like Bob Dylan," or something like that, what I hear from them is just that, "Oh, there's a powerful message behind what you're singing," and that's what I focus on. Is just when I hear Bob Dylan, it's not necessarily I sound like his voice or something, but there's that power behind the voice.
Do you think, as artists, it's important for your songs or your music to have any sort of message attached to them, or can you just let them be songs and let people infer their own meaning?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of just a form of expression, and I love it when I hear a song where there is a message behind it. So yeah, that's what I'm focusing on right now is having a message in every song that people can relate to.
So is it important for you to write about something important specifically or just approach whatever the subject is of the song from a more general basis?
Yeah, lots of times I don't even know what I'm doing. It's just an emotion that's expressed. And so if it comes out as, I don't know, anger or a sad or happy song, it's whatever that emotion is, and there might be lyrics that refer to different things like politics or something, but yeah, at the end it's just a certain emotion that's felt.
For you, what emotions or what themes make a good lyric?
Themes that make a good lyric. Lots of times I love it when songs are simply blunt and try not to sugarcoat things, and that way you can really hear just what the message is. And but other times it's cool to have lyrics that have hidden meanings or a double meaning, so there's many ways to interpret a song. And that way I have songs that I don't want people to know what they're actually about.
Right. So you've got five songs on this EP here. If you had to pick one that was your favorite, either to that you just because you like the lyrics or that you like to perform, would you be able to choose one?
Yeah, I would say Flowers is a main track for sure. It's got a deep emotion to it, and I'm still figuring out what it means. That song's 3 years old already, and I don't know what all the lyrics mean, but I'm still figuring that out.
All right, well, hey, Matt McCrae, thanks for jumping on the mic.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That was my chat with Abbotsford's Matt McCrae, who is the headliner at Mnet's inaugural Audio Artistry series. You're going to hear another track from his album, a live EP at August Studios. This is Helping Hands.
Oh, your life is but a breath, and your heart is full of emptiness and arrogance, full of ignorance, full of cluelessness. It's a shame. And you can't see past your eyes, and you can't hear past your ears. If only you could turn to him and understand, what you need is a helping hand. What you need is a helping hand. What you need is a helping hand. Oh, your time here has got an end, and your days here are numbered as you spend. All your efforts, your toil is in vain. Fleeting happiness only covers up your pain. It's a shame. And you can't see past your ears, and you can't hear past your eyes. If only you could turn to him and understand, what you need is a helping hand. What you need is a helping hand. I said, what you need is a helping hand. What you need is a helping hand. What you need is a helping hand. Said what you need is a helping hand. Come on, sing it. Said what you need is a helping hand.
Once again, that was Helping Hand by Matt McRae. You can buy his album, Matt McRae, live EP at August Studios now, or you can check him out at Matt McRae, that's two C's, .bandcamp.com. You'll be hearing more from the Mnet Audio Artistry Series at the end of the show, featuring Rebecca Sihon. But now we're going to move on to something that I love very, very much, and that is Celtic music. Donal Leahy is one of the renowned members of the Leahy Band of Siblings, based out of Ontario. He's also married to fellow fiddler Natalie McMaster, and they recently wrapped up a tour and also recorded their first album together, called One. I had a chance to speak with Donal last week, but first, we're going to play you a track off of their album. This is Tribute to Buddy. That was Natalie McMaster and Donal Leahy with Tribute to Buddy off their album One. The Buddy in the title, of course, references Natalie's late uncle and fiddling icon in Canada, Buddy McMaster. As mentioned at the top, Donal Leahy is a member of the renowned Canadian band Leahy, made up of him and some of his siblings. Well, Leahy hasn't been as active lately, him and Natalie have started working together professionally and just recorded their first album, One, which also features some of their kids on tour. They have six of them. And it was produced by the legendary producer, Bob Esmond. I had a chance to speak with Donald last week about the album and what it was like working with his wife. Here is that conversation.
Donald Leahy, thanks for being here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you and Natalie McMaster have a new album out, One. Tell us about why you decided to finally do an album together. I know that you've been together for a while, but this is your first artistic collaboration, isn't it not?
It is, and we've been married for 13 years, and of course, when we first married, we were excited about we were going to record together. But it never was the most important thing we had in our lives at the time. We both had careers independent of each other, and then little ones started to come along, and the record together got pushed back, and it just for some reason took till this year to have the right time, or last year, I guess, to have the right time, and it all came together very quickly.
Now, I mean, I know you guys have played together before and you've been together for so long, but the actual act of, you know, being in the studio together, recording together, making an album together, what was that process like for you guys as a team?
It was great. Natalie and I have similar tastes, although we have different styles. We like the same things in music, and we're both fans of each other before we were married, So working together, making music together, making a record together was a collection of her ideas and mine. And yes, yes, let's do it this way. Sure, yes, yes. And it was just wonderful creating with Natalie. She is such a broad thinker and so crazy with her ideas. It's a complete joy.
Now, you mentioned... You mentioned your little ones, and I saw a video, and you're starting to include some of your children in your shows. The decision to do that, not only as performers but as parents, what factors did you weigh in that?
Well, I don't know that we ever decided it. We are parents first, and we have our little ones, and we're luckily able to bring them with us most of the time when we tour. And they're trying to be like mom, like their mom and dad, and they're genetically forced to play music. They love being part of it. And one day, one of the little ones, our eldest, Mary Frances, wanted to come on stage. You know, we encourage them to practice, and you have to get into the game. You can't throw the ball up against the wall all day long. You at some point have to get in the game. And so it was just a little performance. We let her come out and do her thing to give her a little reward, and she liked it, and unfortunately or fortunately, her brother noticed that she was out there, and he wanted a turn. And, you know, it's one of those things, we're not trying to groom our children to be entertainers, but we want them to be music. They are musical, and we want them to love and enjoy music, and somehow, every now and again, we bring them on, and they get to share in what we do, and we feel it's good for our family, and I suppose the challenge is to, you know, keep them, we don't want them doing this in a big way right now. But they're hard to hold back. The little ones, yeah. they love it, and they really like touring. You know, there's restaurants and hotels and swimming pools and it's kind of fun for them.
I heard a little bit of the album, and what struck me is that you've got the sort of, you know, traditional Celtic feel, but there's a lot of modern influences and modern fusion in, like you know a lot of rock guitar. Was that a sort of a natural progression, would you say, from the Celtic music of old to sort of, you know, thrust it forward and sort of mix it up a little bit to add a little bit of spice?
We're fans of music. We love music. We play music by ear. We learn by ear. And so we've had the great fortune of collaborating on at shows and other people's projects with all different styles. And when we made this record, there was no conscious effort to take the music in a certain direction or how can we make this different. It's just what we do every day. I suppose in Natalie's world, she's known more for her traditional Cape Breton playing. The electric guitar you refer to is a fellow we met, a Cuban fellow living in Toronto now, just an incredible talent. He actually trained classically, and I've been playing with him, you know, kicking back at house parties and just getting together because he just inspires me. So that transition or that having him on the record was clearly a musical, it grew out of music. And that's one of the things I like about our record, and we stay true to with our music is we're not forcing anything, you know. We've Quebec been heavily influenced by Quebec over the years. When I was first starting out, I heard a French Canadian fiddle player, Tijan Catignon, and I just loved his music. And I've recently, in the last number of years, been hanging around the accordion players of Quebec. Well, you can't help but, you know, start playing some of that music, and we're rock fans and country fans, and so all these things come in our ears and come out in our music. It was funny, Bob Ezrin, who we worked with on the CD, Bob produced our record. He of course has had fame in the rock world with, you know, Pink Floyd, The Wall, and Alice Cooper, and everybody. But it was funny because when we were in the studio, I said, Bob, I have this idea for this one piece, and including this electric guitar on it. So I played it for him, and he started laughing. And I said, what? He said, I love it. And he said, you know what? They're going to blame me for this. As if, you know, he was the one that had pushed the rock and roll guitar player on us, but it was actually us that brought it to the project.
Bob Ezrin is such a legendary producer. Just working with somebody like that on the album, what was that experience like?
Oh, that was incredible. You know, he's such a musical talent. You know, great producer, but big ears and musical. And he comes from a classical background, and you know, he's associated with rock, but he's just a lover of music. And to see him, the efficiency in the studio he has, and the respect and the confidence. You know, Bob hears something, he listens to something, and right away he hears, oh, I think it should sound like this. And also very respectful of the artists, you know, very concerned about that we were happy with things. It wasn't like, you know, here's the way we're doing it. It was like, here's what I think. But we gained so much, I mean, from the record, of course, but just watching him work. Man, what a learning experience that was. So to be around people at that level, making music, just magical.
I heard you say in an interview recently that you don't like a lot of rehearsal when you go into the studio, and I feel that Celtic music and traditional Celtic music, it leaves a lot of room for improvisation. Did you find any of that happen either when you were in the recording studio or even when you're live on stage?
Every night, every tune. Sometimes, you know, even on tours, if you do a, you know, 40 show tour, towards the end of your tour, you've learned everything. You know, it becomes, when I say learning, it becomes stale in a sense. And I never want the music when we're recording it or playing it for that matter to get stale. And the way you keep it fresh is you feed off of each other. For example, I would play differently. I play differently with different piano players. Even every musician brings something different out in me and in most players, I would imagine. So going into the studio, you need that edge. You need to be kind of allowed to. If you have great players, greatness will come out of spontaneity. You know, someone will hit the drummer hit the crash cymbal at a certain point, and that takes the player's in a just in another direction, or the intensity of a piano player at a certain part really changes the color of a piece. So I love to have the great musicians together and allow everyone to breathe and everyone to do their thing. And then what happens is that there's a unique performance given every night. It's the same piece played differently every night. And I think as a musician, especially, you know, one who tour and play a lot, you need that, or you become, it becomes stale in a sense. We played last night and completely happened. We had a riot because we were zany enough that it just kept going in different directions, and you're you know, in one sense challenged to keep up. In another sense, you're trying to catch up. It's just fun. It's great. I know the audience feeds off that, because they sense if you're enthusiastic or if you like what you're doing or if you don't. And you know, we've got to push ourselves, you know. That's keep going, push.
Now, I know Natalie is, you're from Ontario, but Natalie's originally from Cape Breton, which sort of seems to be grand central for Celtic music. And I find that there's so much tradition, not only in the music, but, you know, in that specific part of the country. Why do you think, there is so much tradition involved in the type of music that you play compared to other genres out there? What is it about Celtic music that breeds so much history, so much storytelling?
Can you excuse me 1 second? Natalie's at the door. I'm gonna open the door.
Sure.
Just a second.
Yeah.
I think one thing about Cape Breton and one thing about Celtic music is, especially in Cape Breton, it's more than music. It's a way of life. Like, I've watched my in-laws wake up in the morning and turning the music on the stereo is as important as turning the heat on. You get up, you turn the music on, you make breakfast, you do what you do, and that it's part of their life. I've seen house parties down there where people sit for 6 and 7 hours and do not move, in terms of they don't get off their seat at a house party, and I'm watching them thinking, they're going to have to go to the bathroom sometime. It's just, it's in them. It's part of their life. And I think the winters in Cape Breton, and I grew up in rural Ontario, long, cold, hard winters, and I think music was needed to get through it. You needed to visit your neighbor. You know, back before televisions and computers, you needed something to do on a cold Tuesday night. So you went to the neighbors and you played cards and you played music and you shared stories, and the kids fell asleep on chairs, on laps, listening to the stories, listening to the music. So I think it's more than they just like music. They are music.
What would you say is your favorite song off of One, either to record or to play live?
I suppose if I had to come down to one, I would say, to one tune, I would say The Chase. Natalie and I wrote that, just the whole way we wrote it. Natalie and I discovered early on that our styles were different enough that if we played a tune that we both knew, we kind of, it didn't sound that great because Natalie's intricacies and nuances were covered up by mine. And so learning music together or writing music together really takes that confusion away. And we wrote that tune together, and I really like how it's aggressive, but it's very, it breaks down almost classically and breathes. So The Chase, if I had to pick out one piece, I would point at that one.
Well,
but you know, yeah. But there's so many different, you know, there's beautiful little traditional things on it. One of my favorite tracks that I didn't play on was the tribute to Buddy. We had Buddy McMaster's, Natalie's uncle, and he had died recently, and we got a bunch of his relatives, his at Natalie Relatives together in the studio, and we had them play just some traditional Cape Breton stuff, and it was amazing. They just went in, called out the tunes, no rehearsal, tuned up, and away they went. And 5 minutes later, we had a track. So it's diverse, but I suppose the Chase is one that I like.
Well, the album is one, and Donald and Natalie will be in Mission on Thursday at the Clark Theater. Donald Leahy, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Alrighty, ciao.
Bye-bye.
That was Donald Leahy. Please sure to check out nataliemcmaster.com for complete tour dates and show times. This is another track off Donald and Natalie's album One. This is The Chase. Once again, that was The Chase by Natalie McMaster and Donal Leahy. Once again, that was Hailstorm with No Clue off their 1997 album, Don't Mess With The Time. Man. Before we get to my interview with Rebecca Sihon, that was Zeke Young, son of Neil, talking about Neil's invention, the Pono player. Be sure to check out PonoMusic.com. That's PonoMusic.com. Well, as I mentioned, and as we featured at the top of the show, I've been working with a company out in Mission, Mnet Radio, and Bad Cat Pro Media Studios. And Saturday night was their first ever Audio in Artistry series, featuring two of their showcased artists, Matt McRae, who you heard at the top of the hour, and Rebecca Sihon. Rebecca is just 14 years old. Now, she doesn't have any MP3 audio for us to play, but as we both videotaped and audiotaped the show last night, we're going to be featuring a couple of the songs that she performed live. The first is an original composition by her called Demons. So this is Rebecca Sihon. Thank you. That was Rebecca Sihon performing her original composition, Demons. Before the show, I had a chance to briefly sit down with Rebecca and talk about her music and where she finds inspiration at such a young age.
Madness fuel creativity?
I believe so. I think that, then again, it's not necessarily sadness, it's more, you know, it's an overwhelming feeling. It could be sadness, it could be happiness, it could be relief. It's just any type of overwhelming feeling that you can feel.
So when you write a song, do you come up with words first and then add music to it? Or are you the type of person that writes out a guitar riff or a piano chord first and then add lyric to it?
It really depends. I know usually I'm there at my piano, usually, and just play a couple chords, add some words to it, completely forget the words, have to play it again like 10 times, and then finally write down the words. And it really depends, but usually it's piano first.
I know you play a couple of different instruments. Mm-hmm. And do you know when you set out to write a song, do you know if it's right away if it's going to be piano or guitar or something else?
Yeah, actually, usually, because if it's more of a happy song, maybe I'll take my ukulele, for example. If it's more of, you know, a slower, something that has not, you know, just like a good meaning to it, it's usually guitar. And then most of my songs are piano because it is my strongest instrument and it's something I feel the most comfortable with. So
in terms of the type of music that those instruments you convey, you sort of said, you know, the difference between the happiness of the ukulele and the sadness from the piano, what is there a certain type of emotion that you try to convey depending on what instrument you're on?
Yes, most definitely. Like I said, ukulele, happier, lighter song. Like, I'm not going to sing something, you know, that has so much sadness in it when I'm playing the ukulele. And then piano, you can put so much emotion into it, so many dynamics, that it depends on what, you know, the feeling is, which would probably be an overwhelming of, you know, sadness or such.
So when is your first album coming out?
Well, that hasn't been decided. I'm really, you know, I really want to write. I want to create an album. But I think it's a lot of work and it's something I'm really hoping to do. But as of now, there's no plans of a future album. But, you know, it's something to always, you know, get ready for and, you know, write more songs for.
So you're opening tonight, for Matt McRae, as we discussed earlier. Playing first, you know, is part of anything. It can always be a nerve-wracking experience. What tricks do you have to calm yourself or settle yourself before a big show?
I just think focusing on one specific detail, like, hey, I'm going to do great tonight. There's nothing to worry about. And just kind of having relief and just knowing that it's going to be okay is something that makes it easier and something to calm me down, definitely.
Well, Rebecca Sihon, we look forward to your performance. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was my conversation with up-and-coming Mission artist Rebecca Sihon. We're going to finish out the show by featuring another one of her tunes that was recorded live at Mnet Radio and Bad Cat Pro Media Studios in Mission. This is a klezmer track featuring her and her musician father, Boris. My thanks to Rebecca Sihon and Matt McRae. My thanks to R.J. Hale of Hailstorm. My thanks to Donald Leahy. And my thanks to Zeke Young. Thanks to Scott Barwise, Stefan Radovic, Lance Shilka, Newt Enoch, and Carrie Shepard for helping out at the show last night. You can follow me on Twitter at Endeavors Radio. You can follow the company on Twitter at pods_w_benefits. You can follow my co-producer Lehman on Twitter at Lehman. That's LEAMINN. You can follow her on Instagram at Insta_Lehman. You can find me on Instagram at Endeavors Radio. Be sure to follow us on Facebook at Pods with Benefits. You can also visit our website, podswithbenefits.com, where we have all our previous shows. Also, if you like the show, please consider giving a donation. We would really appreciate it. Okay, this is Rebecca and Boris Sihon. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Oh, my God.